We are joined by Georgia golf coach Chris Hack.
Hey, how you Chris. Doing, guys? I'm glad to be here with you guys.
Great to see you. How have you been?
I've been great. You know, spent a week in Puerto Rico where it was 85 and sunny every day. And I came back to this and went, I think I'd like to go back to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, suddenly now you feel like you're at Chambers Bay or something.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, the Seattle weather has just gotten... I'm ready for it to be over with.
Just for people, just imagine, this is what it's like out there in that Northwest all the time.
Let's see, when was the last time y'all played out there?
We played in Oregon in the NCAAs 3 or 4 years ago.
3 or 4 years ago. Did you have good weather?
We did have good weather.
So it worked out.
Yeah, that worked out okay. But we played regionals out in Washington 1 year, and it snowed during the round, so that wasn't very much fun.
In the regionals?
Yeah.
Why do you schedule a place where it could snow in a regional?
That's a good question. A lot of people ask that same question while we were there, too.
Yeah, interesting. Well, how's the season going so far?
So far, you know, we had a pretty decent fall, but got off to a great start this spring. Just went in down there in Puerto Rico.
Congratulations
and that's,
on that.
Yeah, that's always a nice way to kick off the spring season. It's got everybody kind of fired up, and now we're chomping at the bit to get to the next tournament now.
Which is, where are you guys going next?
We're going to Myrtle Beach, a golf course called the Dunes, which is supposed to be a really, really good golf course.
Oh, so you haven't seen it?
Haven't seen it.
Oh, really?
Heard that they've got some of the best greens anywhere you'll see, so we're anxious to get over there.
So how did that end up on your schedule?
Well, we were normally that slot is right around when we go to Cabo.
Right.
And with all the stuff that's been going on down in Mexico and so forth, the State Department of Georgia kind of advised against going to Mexico. So we took off a year of doing that. But now it's okay again. We can go back next year. But we decided to try the other Riviera over there in Myrtle Beach.
There's so many good golf courses over at Myrtle Beach too.
I've never been there. I've never been
really?
To Myrtle Beach. No, and people
the Redneck Riviera.
Well, that's what everybody said. They go, what are y'all gonna do over there? Go karts, putt putt golf. You know, I'm like, I don't know. I've never been.
If
there.
You don't come back with an airbrush T-shirt, with your name on it, I'm gonna be disappointed.
Well, that makes a lot of sense now because Trevor and Trent Phillips both have been over there all their lives.
They're from my neck of the woods,
and they actually said they go, look, if we win, we need to all get a G airbrushed. And I went, I don't even know what the heck you're talking about, but okay.
Well, you've been to Panama City, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a...
Yeah, it's a similar...
Get the same feeling there. That's weird. You've never been to Myrtle Beach.
No, just never have.
That is
I guess
crazy.
If I had a choice, I always went to Panama City.
Well, yeah. Exactly. Georgia golf coach Chris Hack here in the studio with us.
Yeah, it's funny. Myrtle Beach has more of the kind of family... Dave calls it the Redneck Riviera, but it's more of the kind of family side. But yeah, Panama Beach is the one where you got Club La Vila and all that stuff going on.
Yeah,
so it's a whole different animal down there for sure. No question about it. But, you know, you guys certainly with golf kind of in a flux right now of the younger generation on the pros kind of moving in and pushing some of the older guys out. You know, how does your current group of guys, like are they big golf fans in terms of watching, in terms of, you know, having their favorites via the young guys, the Spieths, the Fowlers and things like that?
You know, it's really funny. I ask these guys all the time. I'll watch a lot of golf, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I'll see things that happen, and I'll have them all in the locker room. We'll be talking. I said, hey, did anybody watch the golf tournament this weekend? No. And I'm like, are you kidding me? None of these guys watch much golf. Now, if all of a sudden Tiger's in the hunt, they're all running in from the range going, hey, Tiger's in the hunt, and they get on there and they'll watch us. It's just it's mind-boggling to me. Or if it's maybe one of our guys. I can remember, I think it was last year when Bubba and Kisner – made it to the finals of the match play.
Yeah.
You know, of course, all of them were in there watching that.
Right.
But for the most part, unless it's the Masters or the U.S. Open, they just,
golf's that weird sport where it's on TV kind of when you're out playing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So kind of it's like it's not like you're playing during the day and then you go, you know, like a baseball game or a basketball game might be on at night. So it kind of fights against itself.
But with the PGA Tour this last couple of weeks, it's all been West Coast.
Yeah,
so it's been
kind
of prime time almost.
Right.
But still, we don't ever watch it. But I'm like, well, I think you could learn a lot by watching it.
But it is interesting that you mentioned Tiger. So even these guys that were not born when Tiger won the Masters the first time, he's still a draw.
They still know all about him, and they still think that that's – you know, that's the guy to watch. And see
what about
he
if
does.
You bring up Jack Nicklaus? Do you get empty stares?
I don't know. Some of them might not even know who he is.
Oh, man.
No, I know.
It's like, oh, gosh.
Like Sam Snead, they're like, what?
Well, it was funny, and I'm trying to think what tournament it was, and it might have been like the U.S. Amateur or something where his grandson, I think, qualified and played in U.S. Amateur out of Pebble Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw him walking during the practice round. In fact, I think one of my guys was in the group behind him or whatever, and they said early on, they're going, God, that guy looks familiar.
Oh. My God.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Well, they probably think Phil's just ancient, too, then, don't
yeah,
they?
Pretty much. I mean, these guys, well, Phil is ancient to them.
to them, yeah.
He's
probably older than some of their dads. So, I mean, if you think of it that way, definitely. But it's funny, like, J.B. Holmes and then Phil at Pebble. I mean, some of
the older guys,
J.B. J.B.'s like in his mid-30s. He's not. But he's kind of in between the young guys and Phil, but they're hanging tough.
Yeah, JB. No, I bet you JB's almost 40.
You think so?
Yeah, he's got to be.
I was thinking he was like 30, 35 or 36, but you know better than I do.
Yeah,
so.
I think he's getting close.
Here's what happens. When a tournament starts, he's 36, but when it ends, he's 37.
God almighty. they got to do something about that guy. Wow. He's so slow.
He's plumb bobbing two-footers this weekend. And I know it was windy and everything. I mean, I get that. The conditions were pretty tough this past weekend, but I'm just sitting there going, oh, my gosh. This guy is unbelievable.
It could be a hurricane. Plumb bobbing ain't going to help that two-footer.
I mean, it's incredible.
When you get all the announcers kind of raking you over the coals,
remarks.
Yeah, that ought to tell you something.
Ian Baker Finch, like, two or three times this weekend, didn't call him out, but called him out by, like, kind of the way he was talking about him. So, I mean, but is the younger generation, are they all like that? Or, how do you try to help them?
For the most part, they're slow because that's what they've watched on TV.
Yeah.
And we try to encourage that. I tell you what has happened and
encourage them to
play a little faster.
Right.
You know, I don't think playing slow helps you at all. I think the faster you can routine things, it's better. But this was the first tournament that we've played where we could putt with the flag in.
Oh yeah.
And it was real interesting to see who wanted in, who wanted it out. And it was kind of a mix of both. You know, you'd hit your long putts maybe with it out or with it in, and then you'd take it out. But
if you're above the hole, do you want it in?
Yeah. So there were guys. I mean, it was interesting. A guy would have a four-footer and have it taken out, and the next guy with a three-footer would say, hey, would you put it back in? But it sure didn't slow down play. If anything, it probably did help speed of play a little bit.
Tell the guys, just do what you want to do?
Yeah. And I know if it was me, I'd putt with it in.
I know.
For some reason, I've always thought that it helps. Visually.
Wonder what took them so long, because back in the day, you could putt with it in. I don't know why. But, you know, then again, back in the day, they had the, what do you call it, where you could, we talked about this, Sam, where you could block guys.
Oh, stymie.
Oh, yeah.
Stymie.
I love the stymie.
Yeah, I got to put my ball right in front of yours.
I thought you were about to start talking about persimmon woods.
Well, that was back when they did the stymie.
Yeah, with the feathery ball.
Yes,
I saw somebody tweet at Nick Faldo the other day a picture of a persimmon wood, and they're like, hey, Nick, did you ever use one of these? And his response was just one word, yes. But it's like, I bet he wanted to be like, yeah, I'm old as hell. Of course I use one of those. You know?
Well, you know, a couple weeks ago on the senior tour, on one of the tee boxes, they had an old persimmon driver out there, and they were having all the pros hit it as they came through. And a couple guys belted it out there just like a normal drive. But it's what's amazing is if you find one, it looks so tiny.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
That's the thing.
I've got a Nicklaus one wood, you know, driver in my bag, persimmon, and I carry it in my bag just because it's cool looking. I don't use it, but every once in a while I'm messing around, I'll try and bust it out. I love the sound it makes when it makes contact, but the problem is making contact.
No, I'd love for the guys today to play with the old persimmon woods and the old wound ball.
The old Bellatas.
Yeah, the old Bellata wound ball. It'd be fun to watch and see how them go. What did that do?
Well, what did they? It's funny when talking about Bellata made me think of Bubba, you know, and because of the Bellatas, you know, you could move those things like crazy, and Bubba can do it without. But what do your guys think of like Bubba? Is he kind of a rock star or that kind of thing?
Yes or no. I mean, again, these guys don't get enamored with anything anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you do watch him, it is incredible to watch what he can do with a golf ball. And I think they're all, you know, amazed by that. It really is amazing what he does.
You guys, the Boyd Center has been redone, and it's awesome.
It is awesome.
How much is that ticked recruiting up for you?
Well, it certainly
helped. Or is
it
because everybody has a Boyd Center?
Well, that's part of the issue is just, you know, we were actually, by doing it, even though it's really good, we were catching up and just barely maybe passing a few guys because everybody has got that stuff now.
Right.
They're doing these really cool practice facilities now. I just saw, if you look at Google Illinois, they built a practice facility to kind of rival a lot of the simulations of holes of Augusta National, and Stanford's done all that, and Oklahoma's done it. It's like everything else.
Y'all have a simulator at the Boyd Center?
We don't have a simulator. That'd be another thing that a lot of teams do.
You probably need one if you keep up.
That's what Spieth and Justin Thomas, a lot of these guys have those simulators in their home, and they'll go and they'll play those golf courses that are coming up, the majors, and play them over and over and over and try to get a feel for it.
Does it work?
Well, they think it does. I don't know. I've never really done
mentally,
it.
Mentally, maybe if it works.
If it helps you make feel a little bit more
that is bizarre.
In tune to it. So.
That is interesting. Well, you'd figure, well, you know, those guys would all, I don't know how much a simulator costs. I'm sure it's more than like $100, but those guys can afford them.
A good one's probably about $80,000.
Yeah,
you always go over to State Farm Arena and play on the one they got, and there are suites over there now.
Yeah, the Hawks are playing.
Well, yeah. I don't want to watch the game. I'm going to go to the simulator.
That's right. You ever take the guys to Top Golf?
No, you know what? I've never been there either.
Oh wow,
I haven't either.
Oh man, y'all are both missing out. That is.
I've heard it's a great place. Yeah.
I've heard it's fun.
But I've never done it.
Yeah.
I saw there was a video somebody released of Patrick Mahomes the other day playing the Top Golf, and he had a guy because you have to put your club over this little sensor to make it shoot a ball out. So he had a guy standing next to the sensor doing it for him, and he was just swinging. Every single drive, smash, straight to the back of the thing. I was
really?
Man, this guy can do it all, can he?
Why is it, maybe they just get more attention, but why is it the quarterbacks seem to be the best golfers? Or is that not necessarily the case? You know what I mean? Because when you Matt Ryan, Tony Romo, you can start, you know, John Elway, you can start listing all the
skill position
players
are flashy, man. Golf ain't flashy for them. For Matt Ryan, Pat Mahomes, these guys, I mean, they might give them a time to kind of think a little bit.
Their hand-eye coordination. I would say it's this. Hand-eye coordination are pretty good.
Yeah.
Those linemen, they're too worried about putting on beef and building muscles, so that ain't going to do them
That's
any good.
Help, yeah.
You know, the running backs, man, they're trying to keep their legs strong.
Yeah.
You know, the quarterbacks, they're just resting. Hey, let's
That's
go play
true.
Golf.
Let's go play golf.
It's like pitchers.
Yeah.
You know, pitchers in baseball. They're, you know, all of them, they got time on their hands. The other guys are having to work.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of the quarterbacks over the years, I mean, they haven't been Adonis bodies or anything. You know, the quarterbacks tend to be the guys that, you know, can be maybe the least
they're
athletic
good shape,
on
great them.
Shape,
but, some yeah, of, but, yeah, but like, they're not pumped.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, even back in the day, like, you look at, you know, Brett Favre in his prime without his shirt on. I mean, he doesn't have the most chiseled features.
Yeah,
you know, or
yeah.
Peyton Manning, for example, not the most stellar athlete out there.
Well, you know who the best player quarterback that I can remember was John Brody.
Yep.
You know, he ended up playing the senior tour.
He did.
And won on the senior tour. Yeah, he was good.
And his son and son-in-law or was Chris Chandler.
Chris Chandler, who was also really good.
A really good golfer and whose daughter is on our volleyball team.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
You know, and speaking of John Brody, you know, Coach Cavan always tells a story about the time he was with he was a rookie with the 49ers and how Brody came out to early conditioning and he had to run the mile, and he ran the mile, and he fell over, and he reached down in his white sock, pulled out a pack of cigarettes, lit one up. I went, those were the days.
That was, I mean, yeah. How I mean, like, those guys smoking in the locker room.
Well, he said they were the original smoke show coming out because everybody would be putting their cigarettes out in the tunnel. So when they ran out, smoke was coming out.
I remember a senior event one year. Oh, it was a senior open. This guy won the thing with a lit cigar in his mouth the whole time. A guy named Larry Loretti.
Oh, yeah.
And he smoked the cigar the whole tournament.
Yeah.
He won the U.S. Senior Open.
That's why I'm glad the mechanic – you said the mechanic won on the senior tour recently, right?
He may have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. I mean, I think we were talking about that because I would want that to be geared up for Sugarloaf coming up. You know, that you know, I want to see – you know, that's always a good event because they have a good field.
No,
it's older golfers, but it's certainly one that people remember.
And when those – there's some of those guys from the Champions Tour that, you know, still get play at the Masters, they'll come over and play it.
Because that dude loves himself some vino and cigars.
Yes,
so,
he does. Hey, well, nothing wrong with that.
And he's got the best warm-up routine on the range.
Callus Fenix.
Have you guys been over to Augusta National this year?
We have. That team went over there a couple weeks ago and played.
Are you allowed to give any secrets away of what the course looks like?
I didn't play it.
Because I know there's been some changes.
I didn't go, but they said that the
13's longer.
Fifth hole. The fifth hole is much longer.
Number five. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Much
longer. And that was a hard hole anyway.
Yeah, it was a hard hole, and now you're probably hitting a 4 or 5 iron in there. So that was tough. That was the only significant one I remember.
Did they back
up
the tee on 13?
I don't think so yet.
Not yet. Okay, because I know they had tried to. They were acquired the land from.
They got the land back there. My understanding was they really acquired it more for transportation to be able to get vehicles around the back and so forth. Whether or not they'll tinker that hole, I don't know.
I mean, it's like with 13, it's such a fun hole where those guys are going for
it. I would hate to see them tinker with it because you want guys to be able to go for
it. Exactly. Little bogey 5, but eagle 13.
And, you know, what people don't appreciate on TV is that is a really hard tee shot to get it in the fairway.
Right.
And when you do get it in the fairway, it's almost like the slant on it is almost like a baseball swing.
Yeah.
And it's like now the guys like Bubba, who can get it more around the corner, more on the flat, they've got the huge advantage.
Right, yeah. If you're down there near the creek, but you're in the fairway, it's not a hard hole at all for them.
But, man, what a great golf course. What a
It's unbelievable.
And, you know, they got the women's tournament there this year.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic.
So that's pretty cool that they'll do that.
And Josh has a couple of – I think he's got a player. He's got
I know he's got one. I know he's got one girl that's committed that's coming. Yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, maybe.
Yeah.
That's what we've heard on Google.
That's right.
Or we've seen on Google. But anyway.
But I don't know the name. So I don't know who it is.
A little birdie told me.
Yeah.
When, you know, it's fun, not to get you in trouble, but when you're talking about guys that you're recruiting, is the rule you can still say you're recruiting said person, but you can't say anything else, or do you just not talk about anybody?
Honest to God, I don't even remember, so I just don't even talk about it.
If you're not sure, don't say anything.
I was not going to say a word.
Because I remember we were talking with a coach back in the day, and they were saying, well, the rule is I can say if I'm recruiting them, but I can't say anything else. And then I was like, oh, well, let's not get into that kind of stuff.
I got in trouble my very first week when I got hired because, you know, I came from the AJGA.
Yeah.
And Charlie Howell was in the AJGA.
Can you talk about him now?
And I can talk about him now. But you know, his dad was on my board at the AJGA. So, I mean, we were all pretty close. And I had a guy call me and just ask me, you know, hey, you know, I know you know Charlie from the AJGA. What makes him so special or whatever, and I just kind of talked about how for a little kid he just had a lot of speed and he could really putt and chip and next thing you know that
you
came
weren't
out,
thinking about
no
it.
I yeah. think you know it came out in the paper and next thing you know Hoke Wilder was giving me a call. Chris, we got a problem.
No,
went, what yeah
is that what your little slap on the wrist
yeah
or what in yeah. or was it more than
no
a
I couldn't recruit him for like a month or something. And
so that's why you went to Oklahoma State.
Well, no, I don't know. That was pretty much in the works. But I think what happened was is we got a lot closer than people thought we would at getting him. And what people don't know is that that year, his mom actually saw me at a tournament and said, hey, would you take him if he transfers back? And, of course, I went, yeah, sure, I would.
Yeah.
But he ended up staying.
So he got a little homesick, but he got
over
it.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well, it's a big deal for those. I mean, not just in any sport. When you go away from home, you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'd love to know all the inside stories on a lot of guys that, you know, not just to Georgia, but other places. But Georgia golf coach Chris Hacks here in the studio with us. Can you stick around?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to talk about tipping. We do have breaking news, though. Sam, can you hit the sounder?
I sure can.
I've been told that somebody is now on Twitter, and that is you.
I am. I finally joined the real world.
Yes. Of course, what brought that on?
Well, just, you know what, I've kind of been encouraged by the athletic department that it's probably a good thing to do, because this is the new way that these kids communicate and see things and so forth. So I sat down and had a meeting with the media staff about doing it, and of course they were throwing out terms. I had no idea what they were talking about when they said, hey, we'll blue chip that, and I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, so... So I'm having to lean on a lot of the players right now to go, hey, how do I tweet again? How do I do this?
How do I do this?
Yeah.
So
I haven't done many.
It's at UGA Hacker, but it's HAACKER, at UGA Hacker. So follow Coach Hack, and I guess you'll – I know it's a weird – place for you right now, right?
It's well, yeah. But here's what I find is so I look at Twitter now, and I find some interesting things, which leads me to another thing. Which next thing you know, I'm down the rabbit hole, and I've spent 4 hours on there, and I've got nothing done.
So welcome to Twitter.
Yeah,
welcome
so I'm
to
like, well, what a waste of time. This is no wonder they wanted me on this. They wanted me to waste my time.
Are you familiar with Super 70 Sports?
No.
Okay, that's the one you got to get them on for sure.
You need to just go start following that one. It's hilarious. It really is.
But you know, but when I did it, first thing my wife said to me, she said, "Don't go texting anything stupid. You're getting yourself fired."
Exactly. That's the thing.
Yeah.
All right, Coach Hack's here in the studio with us. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and pick his brain some more.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the.
All right, 8:32 back here on the morning show. We are presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System, San Franco, David Johnston, and Georgia Golf Coach Chris Hack along with you here. You can call us at 706-549-6000, email 960theref@coxradio.com.
Coach shouldn't have headphones on, but
yeah, we're playing a little
Sam's
Jackson Brown.
He's long playing you there a little bit, Coach, if you know what that means.
Yeah, a little Doctor My Eyes from Jackson Brown. And the reason that I bring this in is because, you know, I think a lot of the times people think that coaches, especially at the level that Coach Hack is at, you know, very high
Hall
level
of fame
collegiate
level.
Athletics, absolutely. They just see coaches for what they do on the field. They don't realize these guys, you know, actually do have lives and do things away from the course or away from their job. And when Yacht Rock Review last time came around to the Georgia Theater, you and Coach Diaz looked like y'all were having a great time, Coach.
Yeah, no. Kirby was up there with us,
oh,
too.
Oh, really? I didn't see him up there.
No, let me tell you, we were up there having a great time. You know, that was our era. That was our music. And, man, I tell you, I could listen to those guys every night. They are really good.
Yeah, we came in to the interview this morning with Brandy, and I think that's the one I looked up and saw you and old Manny Diaz belting out the words.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff.
Listen to a little Looking Glass.
It's good stuff. Well, I like the younger generation, though. Sam, you guys like that stuff, too?
Oh, I love that kind of music, man. When they bust out some good Loggins or something like that.
You know, my couple of guys on my team, they love it. They'll always go, Hacker, hey, Yacht Rock's playing. You going? I said, yeah, I'll be there. And they go, yeah, we're going too. So they like that old music too.
As long as they're 20. You don't want to see anything else if they're 21.
Yeah, they're the older guys, thank goodness.
All right, yeah. You know, you talked about putting with the flag stick in and all that stuff. How much did you have to, like, re-educate all your players and all these new rules at golf?
Oh, no, we literally brought in a USGA rules guy to go through all this stuff. And it's still hard to imagine you can do some of these things. So we're in Puerto Rico, and a guy's in a hazard. Are they called penalty areas now?
But a
water hazard.
Water hazard.
And now you can move rocks.
Yeah.
You can move sticks. You know, and the guy and the player said to me, he goes, so I can move this? And I'm like, gosh, it just doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So you bring in an official to.
So I confirmed with an official, but until you do it a few times and get used to it, it's just hard to imagine that you can do some of these
But if
things.
You're in a bunker, you can also
in
move.
In a bunker, you can now move a leaf or a rock.
As long as it doesn't move the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is
bizarre.
So counter to what I've learned over, you know, 60 years.
Yeah. Now, you can't ground your club.
Right.
But you can move stuff around
But you
the
can
ball.
Now ground your club in the hazard.
In the hazard. You can touch the ground.
Yeah. Which is like, God, it's so weird.
So can you, on a practice swing, you can touch the ground?
Yeah.
God, that I haven't played golf yet this year, but it just seems bizarre.
It does. So it's almost like I'm watching these guys do this, and I'm going, oh, you can't do that. But, oh, yeah, I guess you can.
And then I know you guys, it's not caddies, but that stuff that was going on with the caddies and the lines and all that stuff, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, you mean standing behind the ball. Yeah, that was really more prevalent on the women's tour or the women's side. You know, our guys would tell us, get the heck away from us back there. So we wouldn't be back there anyway.
No,
but,
no.
You know, tapping down the spike marks and all stuff. Doesn't seem like it slowed down anything. You know, guys are just fixing a few of the little imperfections here and there.
I love when I'm watching golf on TV and a guy will miss a putt, leave it 6 inches, and just walk up and tap it in with the flag, you know, with the stick still. I love that.
No,
it's
I do,
thank
too.
You.
I do, too.
It just speeds everything up. What are some of the other things that y'all have to kind of look out for? Are those the main ones?
Yeah, those are the main issues. I'm trying to think. Until I'm in that situation, I don't recall.
Do they put you guys on the clock, like in a PGA event?
Not as much. I wish they would, but we don't have really the amount of officials to
cover a lot of time.
The NCAAs will, yeah. The conference – the NCAAs, that all gets much more serious on pace play.
Yeah.
And that's why I try to get them to do it in the regular season, because if you get used to playing slow, then you're going to have to play fast and you're not used to it.
Georgia golf coach Chris Hack here in the studio with us.
Coach, you know, one thing that I found interesting with golf as we've, you know, kind of come along here is that, you know, it used to be like Tiger and John Daly and some of these guys were known for being long. Now there are definitely guys that are longer than others, like Dustin Johnson. But I mean, it seems like everybody's long nowadays.
Yeah, it's really scary how far the ball goes with all these guys now. The equipment, if you can match up a driver with the right ball and so forth, it'll go forever for some of these guys. Trent Phillips on my team, who's a freshman, is probably 140 pounds, and I'm telling you, he can bomb it out there with the best of them. And it's amazing. It's the technology that these clubs and balls have brought in, which has consequently made architects have to lengthen these golf courses, and you need more real estate. So I'm not particularly a fan of all the advancements, because I think it's ruined some elements of the game, but you got to deal with what you got to deal with.
It's funny too, because the guys that are the successful pros that played for you at Georgia, you run the gamut from Bubba to probably Sepp Straka had a good day yesterday in Puerto Rico.
Did.
I know he bombs it, but then you know who,
like Harmon doesn't hit it far. Henley doesn't hit it far. Kisner doesn't hit it far.
You've coach guys on
both
ends,
both spectrums, and you know, and obviously the bombers have a huge advantage, you know, because if you can get that ball, you know, up there to where you're hitting a wedge or 9 iron versus a 6 iron, that's a big difference.
And it, for them, and they'd rather be closer up off the fairway than farther back in the fairway. I mean,
they would rather
be closer up in the fairway.
In the rough.
You're right.
They'd rather be in the rough with a wedge than in the fairway with a 7 iron.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that does matter. And again, with the technology of the clubs and the grooves and the balls and everything that they do, it doesn't hurt them very much anymore to be in the rough, unless it's a really deep rough.
You know, Nike's gotten a lot of publicity this week because of the Zion shoe blowing out. How does the equipment contract work for you guys?
Well, you know, we used to be all Nike.
Right.
But now they've gotten out of the hard goods stuff, we basically wear Nike head to toe, and anything that goes on the body, for the most part, is going to be Nike. Other than that, we can play whatever ball, whatever clubs.
So all the equipment companies are come to Athens.
Yeah, we've got a ball deal with Bridgestone, and they do a great job of, you know, putting all the balls out there for us to practice with and so forth. But, you know, we have a few guys playing it, but the kids also can play. You know, if it's not the good ball, right ball for them, they can play whatever they want.
So Pro V's or whatever rolling through?
You know, I probably have two or three guys playing Titleist, a couple guys playing Callaway, a few guys playing TaylorMade. It's all, again, all over the board. I got a guy playing a Straka.
Right.
Not Straka.
Oh, what?
Strata.
Oh, the Strata.
Straka is my guy.
You said Straka, yeah.
Yeah,
I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
right.
It's my guy.
So, like, how does that work in terms of, you know, I guess when, you know, you had the blanket deal with Nike, they just, you know, gave, you know, everything to you guys. How does that work with the different companies and if players want to use different stuff?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're, again, we're fairly fortunate because we're, you know, a pretty good program and have historically been pretty good. So they, a lot of these companies will work with us and take care of these kids. You know, depending on the player, they'll just give it to the program, or if it's an up and comer who still has some work to do, we get a reasonable price on it. So
right, well, that's interesting.
Yeah,
and I guess how many programs though are like tied to like said they have to play Titleist or they have to, you know, is it?
I don't know, but there are some.
But
I don't know how many there are, but
right.
I know of a few.
But a lot of them are in the same boat that you guys are in,
yeah,
as far as
yeah.
they can play what they want and that
yeah,
kind of thing,
they're,
too.
And, you know, there's different elements. I know some, you know, there's a couple of teams that are now all Callaway stuff. And now that Callaway has the ball, there's some that are all tailor-made.
I would think, maybe it's not that big of a deal, but it might affect recruiting if you're trying to get somebody and if you were, you know, a Titleist school, but they didn't want to play Titleist.
Well, and that's the reason that we let these guys play whatever
right.
they want to. And what I have told any of these ball companies, and I used to tell this to Nike all the time, is that if we force a kid to do this, you lose the opportunity to expose that kid to your stuff if he comes.
Mm-hmm.
So even if he's a kid that's played Titleist his whole life, he comes here, if he still wants to play Titleist, you got to let him. But, you know, now you have a chance to influence them and show them the Nike ball or the Bridgestone ball, whatever it is.
Right.
And they go, yeah, you're right. Otherwise, you got no chance of exposing them.
Georgia golf coach Chris Hack here with us.
It's funny, too, because my brother over in Lane used to work at Sports Authority, and, you know, he kept a lot of connects over there. And they, before, like, you know, they were completely, like, liquidated and everything. You know, the writing was on the wall with Nike, and they had a bunch of surplus of stuff, and he got, it might have been, like, 1,000 Nike golf balls. So, like, I mean, there was a lot of golf balls, so I just, whenever I go back to Atlanta, I'm always like, hey, can I grab, like, you know, 20 golf balls or whatever? But it's funny just because, like, they just completely got out of that game. It was bizarre.
And, you know, it was really kind of unfortunate because they had spent so much time and energy and trying to get perfected. And they really they got to a point where they made a really good driver. Their irons were great. The ball that they had at that time was really good. And then all of a sudden they're out. But they, you know, they kind of.
And it was a surprise, too.
It was a surprise because I don't think they saw it coming.
Yeah.
The golf division. And, of course, the golf teams didn't see it coming either. But you know, basically what they wanted to do was kind of follow the tennis model, which was we want guys wearing the swoosh and having it on the shirt. We don't care what they play at because they see the person with the swoosh on.
Right,
right. So, it's kind of hard to see a logo on a tennis racket or
right.
like a golf club.
Yes, exactly.
All right, I cringe to ask you this, but we hear about the transfer portal a lot now.
Oh, boy. Cue the Kurt Russell movie.
How is it for, like, what is that for, like, the sports that aren't, like, football, basketball, that kind of thing? Is that something you check? I mean, is that something
right
you check?
Right now, I would say it's just kind of a interesting peek at it and look at it and see what's going on. I don't know if anything significant is going to happen right away, but I do think next year or the year after you might see some more interesting things. And I think everybody right now is just kind of trying to – figure out how it's going to work.
Right. But it's for every sport. It's not just the ones where you get a full scholarship.
Yeah, and for the longest time, we never even looked at it. I didn't even know how to check into it. You know, and somebody was in the office one day talking about it. I said, I don't even know how to get into that thing. So let's see if there's anybody on there. And we went on there, and I recognized probably 5 or 6 names on there from smaller schools. But there were probably 75 to 100 names on there. So I think
you guys, tennis, golf, you know, maybe any sport, you already know through the grapevine from players that aren't happy at other schools and stuff like that.
Yeah, I would think if it was a really good player, I'd probably already know that they're probably going to get into the portal.
Right, right.
But I really haven't heard of any of that with any significant players. Anyway.
Right. What's the rest of the spring? What's the spring schedule look like?
We
said you guys go to Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle Beach, and we go down to Great Waters to, not, linger longer, but it's not at Great Waters this year. They're redoing that golf course.
Are they really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're redoing everything down there, regrassing the entire thing.
Wow.
Reshaping a couple of the holes in the greens. So we're playing at the Landings this year.
Okay, okay.
Which is the old Port Armor.
Yep.
So we're playing down there. We come back. We're playing at Clemson up at the Cliffs.
Okay.
Which is a really cool golf course.
Tiger, I've been up. I've never seen about it. They used to always talk. They used to tout Tiger had land up there or bought a house up there.
Yeah,
or something.
He might have. But this the golf course we went and played, which was where we're playing the Clemson's tournament. It's got some greens that, man, if these things get fast, you're gonna there's gonna be guys out there with razor blades. They're gonna be so.
is it goofy golf?
Really? I mean, just huge greens and a lot of slopes.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be real interesting. Then we come back after Clemson and we play the SIC out at Athens Country Club.
Yep.
And then get ready for the SEC Championships down at Sea Island again. And then we're hosting regionals.
Awesome.
Yeah, in
awesome.
May.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. That's fantastic. I love that.
Well, if you need a starter, let me know.
Well, We're certainly biased. The UGA golf course is phenomenal. Man. It's fantastic. What are a couple of other, like, that come to mind, other campus courses that, around the country that, like, that you really like?
That are really good?
Yeah, yeah.
Oklahoma State's got a really good one.
Yeah.
Duke's golf course is very similar to ours because it was done by Robert Trent Jones.
Okay.
Around the same time. So it's very similar. I'm not a big fan of it, but not – only because it was never in good shape when we played nationals there in 43 under one. So,
I thought, bad memories.
Because I a bad memory there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. You know, Yale's got a good golf course.
Yeah. What about Ohio State?
Yeah, Ohio State's got a good one. Oklahoma's got a good one.
Is that a big thing? Like, you know, when Texas A&M joined the conference, when we went out there for baseball, they were like, their golf course is like right there, like in the middle of campus almost.
Yeah, it's
or kind of close to camp, like on that main road there. And I was like, how much, do the schools have
to? Well, that's an old golf course. That one's still there. That one's
That's not what they did. Okay.
They did a golf course out. Yeah, it's in Bryan.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Georgia Club. It's kind of alumni-based type of facility.
And that's what they call their home course.
But they put their practice facilities and everything out there, and it's themed, for them. And it's pretty good. It's not bad. We played regionals out there last year.
I got you.
We didn't make it, so I'm not a big fan of it either.
Do you still always find a lucky stick? Or
try to find something. This past week, we found a small baby pineapple. Not a pineapple. What do you call it? A coconut. It fell out of the tree right by me, so I picked it up.
And you held on to it?
Yeah, I held on to it, and all of a sudden I started making some birdies.
Did you bring it back?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That should go on the – I mean, you won the tournament. That needs to go on the trophy case.
I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but you take like a railroad spike, smash that thing open, stick a straw down in there. That's how you do it right there.
Yeah, really.
We've actually – a couple years ago down there – one of the coconuts had fallen off, and the maintenance guy was down there, and our guys were over on the side trying to crack it open. And this guy came over with a machete, and he knew what to do. So he split it open, and he had his little knife, and he peeled out the little white piece of there, and we were eating it. And all I could think about was that movie with the guy that was stranded on the island.
Oh, Castaway.
Oh, yeah, Castaway. Yeah, Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
I think about Tom Hanks talking about how that worked as a, to flush out your body.
A laxative.
And I thought, oh, boy, this is great. All these guys have been eating. Oh, God.
Well, let's take a quick break. Coach Hacks here with us. We'll come back and finish things up having – a lot of fun here talking with Hacker. By the way, at UGA Hacker, HAACKER.
A man walks down the street.
All right, take 54. We got a couple of minutes here. Thanks to Georgia golf coach Chris Hack for joining us. And congrats again on the win down in Puerto Rico. Was there a way to get into a playoff with Tech, or what was the... Could y'all need to take care of them?
The problem was everybody had airplane flights, so we couldn't do it. And They didn't agree to a wrestling match because they knew we'd take their lunch money.
It's amazing, man, on Sundays, just like if it's not a Georgia guy, it's somebody from the SEC or, you know, Tech's got a lot of guys on the tour.
They do, yeah.
The tipping thing with Cooch was interesting, how that blew up, wasn't it?
Well, I tell you what, and I talked to his old golf coach down there at Puerto Rico about it, and it really was a mistake on his part. He really didn't handle that very well.
When he dug in, it just made him look terrible.
You know, it's like Bruce Hepler told me. He said, you know, he's paying that IMG agency a lot of money to represent him. They didn't represent him very well there by just saying, hey, $5,000 is a lot of money. No, you're out of touch.
Yeah, that was Mark Eisenberg really messed there. Is that his name?
Steinberg.
Thank you. Yeah. Mark Steinberg really messed that one up because that really curt and nasty email back where he's just like, I'm out of the country. $5,000 was fair. And that was it. It's like, that's a horrible thing to say to someone.
It was not handled very good. And that's unfortunate, too, because, you know, I've known Matt for a long time. I knew him from junior golf when I was running the AJGA, and he's a really nice guy, and that really took a hit on his reputation.
Yeah.
And when it really should have been a great story, you know, that you paid this guy.
You changed this guy's
changed
life.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And instead it turned out the wrong way.
He's normally making 200, so 5,000.
Yeah.
He should be happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hacker, always great to see you. Thank you very much for coming in.
Appreciate it.
And you're the best. Congrats on all your success, and you know, can't wait to see how things go this spring. Thanks so much for checking in with us.
It. Well, I've got the best with Steve Colquitt as my.
You got that right.
Woo! For me,
the man.
He is the man. I love that guy.